The following was recorded live from the Sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
I would like to share with you this morning a message. Yeah, I've taught this before during this time of year, and I call it the Everlasting Father. It's just a segment out of a series. But we're moving toward the time when we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's a wonderful time. You know, we have created quite a tradition out of it. And every year, there's a lot of celebration, a lot of good things that go along with it. And there's nothing wrong with most of our tradition. I will say that we are way too commercialized and way too materialistic with it, because we seem to attach too much emphasis on the presence and not enough emphasis on the present that God gave us. So it's very important that we recognize that this time of year is about Jesus. It's not about us. But it's hard, because that's all you see. That's where, everywhere you look, we're seeing things about buying and purchasing and encourage. That's just constantly bombarded with that. But thank God that we do recognize our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We do know that Jesus is the reason for the season. Secularists would like to take that completely out of our celebration. They're unable to do that as long as there are people who believe in Jesus. And as long as we stand firm and continue to proclaim Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'd like for you to turn to Isaiah chapter 9. By the way, we do not have anything on the screen this morning with my message. I just, with everything that was going on this week, I didn't have time to put it together like we normally do. But we have the Word of God. That's all we really need, right? Isaiah chapter 9, just verse 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Today we want to focus on the fact that he's called Everlasting Father. Everlasting, the word used here that's been rendered everlasting means continuing into the future. It means eternity. For eternity, before time began, he was the Father. Now he's the Father, and always in the future, he will be the Father. He is the Father, the King. He will continue to be. In the ancient world, the Father had a much wider meaning than usually just for us. And we say father, and then we say a grandfather, but in the ancient world, when you referred to father, you were usually referring to many generations of people that were before you. And of course, Abraham himself was called father. He was called and he was referred to as the father of the Jewish people. So father has a wider scope than what we use it for. However, it's very important that we recognize that our Father in heaven is a specific term for someone that loves us very, very much. Someone that created us, someone that provided for us, someone that wants us to have a personal relationship with him. Someone that wants to talk to you. Yeah, I know that there are people in this world that say, you mean God talks to you? God speaks to you? You know, our response should be, well, yeah, doesn't he talk to you? You know, people like to say, well, what's wrong with you? You hear from God. What's wrong with you? You don't hear from God. That's the kind of Father that we have. He wants to have a dialogue with us. He wants to talk with you. He wants to speak to you. He wants you to speak to him. He wants you to tell him everything, every problem, every situation you have in your life. But he also wants you to believe his word about those problems and situations. You see, there's nothing wrong with us to coming to God, for us to come to God and say, God, I have this problem. But you know what he really wants to hear? But God, I know what your word says about that problem. This is what it is. This is what it is. You see, when we can come to him and we can tell him what the word of God says, the Father delights in that. You know, when my children come to me and they tell me something that I've told them in their life. My son Micah will often say to me, and rightfully so, when I fail to plan, he says, failing to plan is planning to fail. And the reason he says that is because I've told him that many times in his life. He's bringing it back to me. And I delight in that. That's wonderful. And that's what God wants. He wants us to bring his word back to him and say, God, this is what you said. And I hold you to that. That's not being demanding of God. That's not being arrogant. I want everyone to understand that's not arrogance. That is belief. That is faith in the word of God. And our God wants us to act like that before him. So he is the everlasting Father. It's extremely important that we get a perspective on who he is and how important it is that for us as fathers, men, that we give the proper perspective on God our Father, because our children look to us so that they can understand and have a relationship with the Heavenly Father. A little boy was in church with his family, and they just christened his little brother. And right after the christening, the little boy started crying. He cried all the way home. Finally, the parents, you know, got him to tell them what was wrong. They said, Johnny, what's wrong? Why are you crying? Why are you crying? He said, well, the pastor said that I needed to be, that me and my brother needed to be raised in a Christian home, and I don't want to leave you guys. That speaks to us. What do our children think about our life? Are we raising them in the proper atmosphere and attitude toward God? Are we just Christians when we come in the doors on Sunday morning? Or are we believers every day of the week? Do they see us the same in church as they see us at home? Come on, we've got to set some examples so that our children can have a proper perspective. No wonder so many young people are rejecting God because they've been rejected by their fathers and their parents. Lives are falling apart. This nation is deteriorating because the family unit is falling apart. That can stop. I don't believe we have to accept that. I believe by the power of God, there's healing for families. I believe by the name of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit that families can be brought back together. And for those who have been injured, they can be healed. The emotional healing can come. And they can begin a tradition of godliness in a family. Hallelujah. Our Father is described as the creator of all things. He's Yahweh, our God. So I want to make a few points this morning. Hallelujah. And the first one is that God wants to be your daddy. In Matthew, well, let's turn to Galatians chapter 4. And in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." And the closest rendering that we can get to Abba, it's an Aramaic word for father, it is daddy. Because it's a term of endearment. It's not just calling someone father. It's saying, "Daddy, I love you. Daddy, I need you." You know, when you speak to your father, your daddy, if you call him father, it's a little different than when you say daddy. It's an interesting note that before Jesus came, the Jewish people never, ever referred to God as daddy. But they did use the Greek word that's translated father, a title of honor, because they honored God greatly. But they didn't have that close personal relationship with him. And although both are titles for parents, one means more to a father, to a daddy, than the other. When my daughter Jessica calls me up from Texas, and the first thing I hear on the other end is, "Hi, Daddy," it means something special to me. Now, if she'd call up and say, "Hello, Father," wouldn't mean a whole lot. You know, reverence, yeah, respect. Yeah, something's wrong. That's right, Charles. But hi, Daddy. Man, it touches my heart. It's special. And that's the kind of relationship our Heavenly Father is desiring from each and every one of us. He wants that kind of personal face-to-face contact with us. He wants us to get right in His face. My little grandson, Owen, when I pick him up, for some reason, sometimes he just wants to put his nose on my nose. I know it's a big one, but I don't know why he likes to do that, but he does. He just likes to get right there. And then he just giggles or laughs. And it makes me feel good. Face to face with me. He wants that. He wants that contact. That is exactly what God loves and desires from us. That we get right in His face. That we're right there with Him. That we see who He is and we understand Him. So that we have all that we need for our life and godliness. Daddy. Daddy. Daddy, it's a term of endearment. It's a term that our Father wants us to address Him with. Second thing I want you to point out this morning, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Beginning with verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Now, you know, this is not the part I'm really wanting to focus on, but I could preach from that. That He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We are blessed above and beyond what we can even imagine. Now, we think spiritual blessings, you know, things that are going to happen for us in the sweet by and by. Well, the spiritual world is all around us. And the Word of God says, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. So what we recognize is that what is taking place in the spirit realm is also being manifest in the physical realm. So if we have spiritual blessings in the spirit realm, we have physical blessings in the natural realm. We can hold on to that in our life. We need to recognize that he's not just talking about something that's going to happen in the sweet by and by. He's talking about what is happening here and now. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, you have been chosen before the world even started, before he established it, you were chosen. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. When we read this, we find out that it's not just a matter of being a child of God. God chose us. And as we read throughout the New Testament, we find out that we have been adopted into the family of God. Yes. And there's something special about being adopted. You know, it's one thing to come into a family naturally, but and sometimes, you know, we all love our children. And thank God for them. But when someone adopts a child, there's something very unique and special about that. Because they're choosing even above and beyond the natural ability that we have to choose children. They're choosing to bring a child into their life and bless that child with their presence. And that's what God has done for us. He chose us. We are adopted, grafted in. We have been adopted to be his children. That's important for us to recognize the power of God, that he wants to, he chose you out of all the people on earth. He chose you. I'm not trying to tell you that everyone is, you know, that God chooses bad and good people. That's not the way it works. God has given us opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. But he has a mark on you. He's chosen you. I talked to my friend Kenny Tolliver, who went to China and adopted a little girl. And that's been several years ago now. In the process of doing that, Kenny told me that he spent about $20,000 to adopt that child. That's a lot of money. But you know what? Better thing could you spend $20,000 on? Kenny put it in perspective. He said, you know, I could have spent that money on a car. I could have spent it on just about anything, clothing, just about anything I wanted to spend it on. But I chose to spend it on this little girl to impact her life for eternity. That puts things in perspective, doesn't it? A choice. God chose you. Thank God he did. Chose every one of us. Hallelujah. And the last point I want to make. It's our responsibility to choose him. John chapter 1. Beginning with verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But, now here's the place we want to focus on, because we're understanding here as we read this. The Word was before. The Word created all things. The Word, the Logos, the creative spoken word, the creative written word, spoke everything into existence. That's how powerful the spoken word is. But then it goes on to say in verse 12, here's our focus. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. He gives us the power. Although we're all chosen, he gives us the power to choose to become his children, the children of Almighty God, a powerful God. We are chosen by him, and then he turns it back on us and says, now you choose. Do you want me to be your daddy? That's the choice we have to make. It's not just a savior that we're talking about. Praise God, Jesus came and he died on the cross for our sins so that we could be saved. But God wants more than just to be your savior. He wants to be your daddy. He wants you to have that kind of relationship with him. When we accept Jesus Christ as our personal savior, we have direct access to the throne of God. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16, it says this, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but is in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Boldly into the throne of grace. We have access to our Heavenly Father like the world never had before until Jesus came. The veil was rent. We can now step into the Holy of Holies in the presence of our God, of our Daddy. And we can say, "I love you, Daddy," without fear of retribution, without fear of torment, without fear of being punished for being in his presence. Some have had fear because of their earthly fathers, because of the way they were treated. Our God wants you to know he is not a man. And he does not act like a man. Our God is love. Our God is mercy. And our God is grace. He wants to heal you. He wants to bring you in to that relationship with him, where you can stand in his presence and call him Daddy. It was a country song by Brad Paisley that I've heard before. It's about adoption. It says this, "I met the man I call my daddy when I was 5 years old. He took my mom out to a movie, and for once I got to go. A few months later, I remember lying there in bed. I overheard him pop the question, and I prayed he'd say yes. And then all of a sudden, it seemed so strange to me how we went from something missing to a family. Looking back, all I can say about all the things he did for me, I hope I'm at least half the man he didn't have to be." That's a wonderful song about someone stepping up and becoming a father that didn't have to be a father. Our God is the creator of all things. He didn't have to send Jesus. He didn't have to come into flesh and die for our sins. But he chose to, because he is Father and he loves us. He loves all of us. He has that and wants to have that special relationship with each and every one of us. Stand with me. The short story written by about a man whose son had left him for some reason, and they had had an argument. It was in Spain. And the father went out and posted flyers all over town saying, "Paco, meet me at the motel in town on Saturday at 5 p.m. All is forgiven." When he showed up, there was 500 Pacos there looking for forgiveness from their father. I don't think it's because that name was that popular. It's just that people are looking for relationship with a God that loves them, cares about them, and has sufficient grace to forgive us of all our sin. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you're an awesome God. You are my Father. You're my Daddy. And I thank you, Lord, that I can stand in your presence, that I can reap your blessings, that I can have relationship with you. I love you, God. I love you, Daddy. And I ask, Lord, that you just draw people to you so that they can see and understand that you are an awesome God. Your desire is not to hurt anyone, but to give us a future and a hope, Father. Touch us today that we can embrace your love and recognize that your Son, Jesus Christ, is the bridge that we need in our life. Not just for salvation, but for relationship with you. You want us to be in your face. And today, Father God, I ask that you help us. Help us to do that every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Have a wonderful day.